All right, Gregory, it's Amazon Anonymous time, our favorite Amazon time of the week.
Anonymous.
What do you got?
I have the new Eminem album.
Is that new? I didn't know.
Yes,
it was new.
The Marshall Mathers LP 2, okay. Which was just released on November 5th. So this is a new album, and I heard it was very good. So somebody purchased this, and thank you very much for your purchase. I don't know how much I have to say, but I haven't listened to much. Everybody who listens to me knows that I'm not a huge music guy anyway, so there's not much I can say about it, although I do like Eminem, or at least some of the stuff he's done, and I've heard this was good. So I'll have to check it out, but thank you for buying it through us.
All right. I got a few things. I'm not sure what to pick. I don't know what to pick. Did you know you could buy brake rotors on Amazon?
I didn't until now, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, someone bought Centric Parts 120.50019 premium brake rotor with e-coating. $54.03.
What is e-coating? Is that like...
black e-coating for long-lasting corrosion protection. So see how the hub part has the painted black?
Oh, okay. Painted black.
Maybe it's epoxy coating, maybe? Oh, electro coating finish. It's just paint. Electro paint.
It reminds me so much of when we had Kevin McCann as our boss at Nauticum, and he came back one day. One day he came into work and he said, "Guys, I had this brilliant idea." This is what 1999 probably. Can't say, "Come, guys, I had this brilliant idea." Imagination. What do you think? Imagination. We're like, I'm sure 80,000 companies have thought before. Kevin, no big whoop. Anyway.
I don't even remember the imagination.
Yeah.
But I have a certain level of disdain for Kevin McCann. The leprechaun.
Look, leprechaun. He's just doing what he was.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
No, he was what we would be in 5 years and then, you know, thought he was able to do something with. I don't blame him for what he did. It just didn't work out, and it wouldn't have worked out of that situation because that was not the right situation for him or us, as it turns out.
The brake rotors have no reviews, so if you bought the brake rotor, please review it on Amazon. In the Amazon Anonymous irony of the week, someone bought some Metallica MP3s on Amazon.
Why is that irony?
Because Metallica was, like, leading the way against electronic distribution. Like,
well, they were leading the way against
fighting Napster, but still, they were still against everything electronic distribution also.
Well, yeah, because they were entrenched in the record system, but, mm-hmm. I mean, that has changed.
And someone bought some Robic Foaming Root Killer 1 pound, which must be the most toxic shit ever. For severe recurring root problems, clears roots and drains from pipes, stops new growth, will not harm surrounding trees, maybe. Safe for all types of plumbing, easy to use.
Just pour it on the shit you don't want.
I gotta check out a review for the root killer. Wow! We have had trouble with roots in our main sewer. We had water backing up into the basement laundry room whenever we took a shower. The city came out to clear the lines, and we hired plumbers to come out also to clear the lines. Every 6 months, it seems the roots returned. I ordered this product to just see what it would do. I use 2 bottles down the toilet every... See full review. Well, he's putting 2 bottles on the toilet. Let's see what he's doing with it. Every 6 months for the past 2 years, and I have not had to call a plumber or get the wet vac out since. Well, if you're not cleaning shit out of your basement, that is a good thing.
And everything Aerobic. Around me is dead.
Foam and expands fast. Be careful if toilet is slow. All right. Thank you, Philip, from Atlanta, Georgia, for your awesome review.
And thank you, whoever purchased that, for purchasing it.
Hopefully it works for you. Yeah. I want to know if Amazon rotors are any good, so review that, please.
I don't think it's Amazon brand rotors, right?
They should be.
They're just a clearinghouse.
It should be, though.
I don't think Amazon's in that business.
I just would have never thought of going... on...
Did you start recording for a...
It's still going.
Okay.
I would have never thought of going to Amazon. Not Amazon.com, but craftbeerwriter.com/Amazon mm-hmm. to buy brake rotors. But I guess now I will. Maybe there's brake pads on there, too. Maybe there's all kinds of shit. Brake pads are probably more likely than brake rotors, so...
So how is your kids' thing coming along? Your
playhouse?
Your playhouse.
Working on today. Put the windows in. Was going to do the... I did the shingling last week, and I was going to do the caps on the top of the shingles, but I screwed up. Did I tell you last week how I got the best deal in shingles ever?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So there was two different kinds of shingles. There was the three-tab cheapy ones, and then none of them cheap, but the boring three-tab ones, and then these fancy two-ply ones that look like slate. And I used all the three-tabs as the edgers. You put them in upside down to do the edge. And I realized today I should have saved those to do the top caps because the two-ply ones, you can't bend them to do the peak of the roof. So I need to come up with some charcoal-colored three-tab shingles to finish the peak of the roof. So I'm like, ah, motherfucker.
Oh, well, so much for you saving all that money.
Well, I still saved a ton of money. I just got to spend a little bit more money to finish the roof. Put in the windows. In hindsight, I should have used staples to put the shingles on instead of nails because the kids are going to be playing up in the attic part of the playhouse. And there's all these death nails sticking down out of the wood now. So I had to use... I bought a pair of nail nippers to... you know those clamps for my homebrew stuff? You know, you kind of squeeze... Maybe you don't know, but they're the O-Biker clamps. Homebrewers will know about these. And they kind of... You just pinch them together and they clamp down instead of using the screw clamp thingies, you know?
Okay.
Greg doesn't know what I'm talking about.
No idea.
So instead of buying a tool to tighten these clamps, I saw that Northern Brewers sold a pair of nail nippers. It was cheaper than the tool to do the same thing.
Sounds vaguely racist.
Nail nippers?
Nail nippers.
That's what they're called. So, you know, I bought a pair of channel lock nail nippers a bunch of years ago. Use it to tighten these clamps. And today, I was using it to nip off a bunch of nails down there. You know when they say tough as nails? Mm-hmm. That saying? Nails are fucking tough. These things are made to cut nails off, and I could only do half of the nails sticking through the ceiling. My grip was killed. They're so hard to cut off nails, even with a tool made for cutting off nails. Sure, I could have got my Dremel out and cut off, you know, with a cutting wheel. That would have just been... I thought it was going to be more labor because they start out. So you just got to take your time. You know, do 20, 30 nails, take a break, come back, do 20. You know, there's a lot of nails on when you're putting shingles in.
The way you do, put tar on them so your kids won't hit the... Because, I mean, even when if you cut nails, they're still going to be sharp edges.
Well, no, because you're... It's like a pair of pliers, but it cuts them like... It looks like this. So it cuts them off right off at the wood. So there's not sharp edges.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, there's... If you get up there and rub it, you know, but you're not going to get a nail in your head that way. So, I mean, they're safe. It just... I should have used staples or something, which would have been easier to cut than roofing nails. But, you know, the roofing nails were free from my dad, so I didn't really pay for them. And if I used a staple gun and staples, I'm not sure if those staples would have held. So... You know,
you live and you learn.
Live and you learn. Yeah, the ridge cap pieces. I'm really kicking myself for wasting the three tab shingles. I didn't realize when I picked up the shingles from the sky, he had two different kinds. I wasn't sure why he had two different kinds. Now I know exactly why he had two different kinds. He had the slate type shingles for the flat part of the roof, and he bought these other ones just to do his ridge cap. And I should have saved them for the ridge cap, but I used them for other things.
Oh, well.
Damn it. Yeah.
So are you going to install like a heater inside?
No, it's a playhouse.
But your kids are not going to be able to play in it.
Well, it's unfortunate that it took me till November to get it mostly done. But I'm a busy boy, you know. Kids keep me busy. Work keeps me busy.
You should install electricity in there.
then I gotta run, I gotta bury cable all the way from the garage or something.
Yeah.
What I might do is just...
I mean, because it's right next to your shed, so that would be a good idea, because then you could also have electricity in your shed.
I don't think I'll ever need a light in my shed.
I'm not saying a light, I'm saying electricity.
I need other kinds of electricity even less than I need a light in the shed.
All right.
It's not a workshop. It's just a shed.
Well, no, but I mean, to recharge things. I mean, what if you get like...
I wouldn't want to keep my batteries out there anyway because I'm not temperature controlled.
All right.
And kill the batteries faster. I don't even keep my batteries in the garage in the wintertime. I keep them in the laundry room so they don't get screwed up from the temperature.
So the weird thing is that I remember my grandparents always used to put their batteries in the refrigerator because they had learned that...
Well, they weren't lithium-ion batteries, first off.
No.
So, you don't want your lithium ions to get frozen, like, in freezing temperatures. Or your nickel-cadmium, even. So, I keep all those inside in the winter.
Yeah, they were just alkalines.
So, yeah. I don't know. I'm sure Mythbusters knows if there's something about freezing your batteries, but I don't. I mean, a Duracell battery lasts for like 15 years anyway, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Keeping it, you know, because Duracell puts the best buy date on it, right? I don't know about the other ones, so I'm sure they all last just as long. And it's already like 15 years out.
Mm-hmm.
What are you expecting to get by keeping your batteries, storing your batteries in the freezer above that? Unless it's all, but Duracell's in business for selling batteries, so maybe there is a drain. And maybe putting batteries in the freezer is.
Duracell's a Gillette company, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, and Gillette is now owned by Procter & Gamble.
Still, alkaline batteries, razor blades, the faster they turn, the better, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you really don't want to trust those guys. The you know, remember when Duracell started putting the little battery meters on the battery and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I don't see those anymore. I think that marketing fad went... First, they came in the case, right? In the battery case, there was a little thing, a little battery meter in the case, and then they put them on the battery.
Well, I think those were never too accurate. That was the problem.
You would want those to, if you're the producer of said battery, you'd want those to read dead well before they're dead.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, unless you're responsible.
Well, that was always the problem that I noticed with them, is that they either read, they didn't show really a good percentage. You just said either alive or dead, even though they had a whole range, but really what they either showed is either dead or alive. So there it was that.
Right.
But
I don't see those on battery packs or on batteries anymore.
No.
And, well, batteries are tricky anyway, right? Because there's the voltage that they read, but there's also the, like, milliamp hours that come off the battery, right? It's not a linear scale. I mean, using the voltage is kind of accurate. I mean, I have a third-party battery tester that runs just off of voltage, right? And it kind of tells you. But there's also the case where you could have a battery that, when you're having very low current on it, it reads kind of okay. But if you have a higher current draw, it just falls down, right? So you put it in your battery tester, and it says okay. You put it in your camera, and you fire off a flash, and it's dead, right? So, there's, you know, batteries can be tricky that way as well.
Yes.
Razor blades.
But batteries are mostly used now for electronics, so it's for...
They don't sell those anymore either so much, the batteries just for your cameras.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because it's very rare that people actually use those kind of batteries in their cameras anymore, because most of their cameras are cell phones. So it's...
Mm-hmm.
You know, people use batteries for remote controls, and people use batteries for various different...
Kids' toys. Every
kid's toys. But a lot of stuff now comes with internal battery packs.
I would love to know whether buying a name brand battery is worth it over the generics.
That's Consumer Reports. That's what you got to do. You got to go.
Because, like, Heather typically buys the CVS.
Yeah.
And today she bought some Toys R Us batteries. And sure, they're cheaper than Duracell and Energizer. But...
Well, from what I understand, for the most part, they're the same exact thing. It's just that they're labeled differently, mm-hmm. and you pay some extra for the label. But they're basically the same manufacturer produces them. It's just like, you know, when you go to Costco and you see like Kirkland, mm-hmm. and that's the same as some other things. It's just, if you sell it to a different place, you put a different label on it.
Yeah, I'm sure it. So, like I say, I'd love to know the answer to this. I'm sure
like the CVS or the Rite Aid version of ibuprofen is the same as Aleve, but it just.
I'm sure if I did a Google search, it would tell me if Energizer was any better than Toys R Us batteries.
Advil, I should say. Yeah. I'm sure that you could test them, and I bet that if there is a difference, it would be so minute as to not be anything to worry about. Especially for a kid's toy. Who cares if your kid's toy lasts 20 minutes longer on a pure Duracell than on a Toys R Us battery mm-hmm. when, let's face it, the Toys R Us batteries are a lot cheaper and who cares?
Mm-hmm. I'll have to look into that.
And it's kids' toys. They'll play with them for 2 months and then they'll forget about them.
Well, okay. So it's not just how long they last. It's which are less likely to leak.
Right. Okay. That's true. That's true.
Because when you have all these kids' toys with batteries and they leak, and you're like, "Oh fuck, motherfucker!"
But what else do we use as batteries? Zooms have batteries in them. Some computer components, like mice and keyboards and other stuff, will have batteries inside them. But some of them are just rechargeable. Mm-hmm. Remote controls, obviously.
They were. Oh, I just was listening to Security Now. They're talking about the Bluetooth low energy stuff, the Bluetooth 4 LE. Mm-hmm. And that shit's like, it's
smoke low detectors.
It's smaller distance, but it has lower latency than regular Bluetooth. But also the power requirements, like a coin battery, will like power the thing for years.
Huh.
I don't know much about it.
Yeah, so those like, you know, hearing aids, things like that have those smaller batteries and you know, those things. But what uses the standard like AA batteries that we use constantly besides remote controls and besides like for you kids' toys and these Zooms?
Kids' toys. I mean, you live in a different universe, but for everyone who's listening that has kids,
yeah,
AA batteries in their kids' toys is the bane of their existence. It's horrible. It's insane. You don't appreciate it. You can try, but you don't appreciate it.
Don't appreciate it. Game. I mean, the Xbox 360. You can get replaceable battery backs thing for them, but you could also just put AA batteries in them. What else though?
You getting an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4?
No.
No.
First of all, the Xbox One is all about TV, and I don't even have TV anymore. I get all my TV on the internet. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that I don't see a reason to get them. I'm not that much of a gamer anymore. I just don't play games much anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just not what I do. So I don't need the TV stuff. I don't need the game stuff. I can get the rest of the stuff on the internet with computers they already have, so I don't need an extra computer. Mm-hmm. Kind of not in the market anymore.
Right.
And it's weird.
I mean, I wasn't in the market for the 360 or the PlayStation 3 either, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I got out of the market. I had kids. I got out of the market earlier than you. I was just curious if you were interested, if there was something about them.
Well, the weird thing is that, you know, I kind of poo-pooed the idea that, oh, you know, the 18 to 35. Well, you know, I'm still going to be buying stuff after I'm 35. 37 now, I'm not buying the same shit I was buying before. So there's some truth to it. There, you know, or at least from my perspective, there's a truth there that I can't get away from. And you know, people are spending their advertising money on that kind of thing, on, you know, Xbox stuff. And I don't care.
I mean, we're always outside of that demographic for a very long time in a lot of cases. I mean, other than that, but Coca-Cola, Pepsi. Outside of that Kentucky, you know, McDonald's, KFC, you know, outside of that whole demographic for Taco Bell, that kind of thing for a very long time. I don't know. Oh, so, you know, we talked a little bit about my move bonus and whatnot. So now I have some cash. One of the things that was on my wish list but never made it to the top for a very long time, I'm going to get a handgun so we can go shooting.
Oh, cool.
Because, you know, you don't have any experience really shooting.
None.
And I think you'd be open to it. I want to take you, give you that up. So I'm probably this next... I'm going to start looking into it this next week for the gun owners amongst us listening,
mm-hmm.
what I'm kind of thinking, I was talking over with my buddy Dave, who... Has Dave ever been on the show?
Is Dave the one from Iraq?
Yeah. He was on the show once, I think.
I think he was on the show, yeah.
Yeah. So I asked him, you know, he's in the Army. He's still in the Army. He's actually stationed in... Where is he? He's in Afghanistan right now.
So like Kabul maybe, or...
I'm not sure. He just deployed again. So hopefully it's his last deployment before he retires. But he just deployed again. Got 3 kids at home. It sucks.
Yikes.
Yeah. Be gone for a year. But I asked him a while ago, you know, I love the idea. I know this is not going to mean much to you. I'm talking more so to the listeners. But I love the idea of...
How dare you?
I'm sorry. The Colt 1911 handgun. I just like that kind of form factor gun. That's kind of what you see in the World War II movies. You know, handgun where you pull back the top and it cocks it. You know, that's the gun. I just love that. It's not a great gun, that version of the Colt 1911. So Dave suggested a couple. He suggested the... Heckler & Koch 40 caliber or the Smith & Wesson 40 cal would be a good one. Shells are a lot cheaper than the 45s, which the 1911, you know, is that kind of 45.
Oh, yeah.
And I like what I've seen online about the H&K, but the price of the H&K is probably about 3 times the Smith & Wesson. The thing I don't like about the Smith & Wesson, I want to use this for... I like shooting accuracy. It's not so much self-protection, home protection type thing. The Smith & Wesson has this safety trigger thing where you got to kind of like push in the lower part of the trigger before you can pull the trigger. And that's just horrible for target shooting, match shooting, you know, because you just want the super hair trigger, just touch it, not pull the gun off of it anyway. So I'm not sure I want the Smith & Wesson. Unless I can get one with a match trigger, that's kind of what I'm thinking. If anyone has any great feedback, I'm going to look around here on the used market. And there's a couple of used gun shops around here. See, I know I have much less selection there, but if the price is right, I'm more flexible. And then, you know, I'm going to look around. But that's kind of where I'm looking is like a probably Smith & Wesson 40 cal. Longer barrel. Like I said, I'm not too worried about conceal. I want to use it for target shooting, for match shooting. It'd just be fun. So. Finally in the market. I've been wanting to get a handgun for 10 years now. As long as we've been doing the show, it's been on my wish list.
Huh.
And I've just never gotten around to pulling the trigger of buying a handgun.
I don't really have much to add to that, except for I would, it'd be fun to go do some target shooting with you, with mm-hmm. your gun. Be fun.
Yeah, get a couple of my dad's, you know, long guns, too, let you try those, you know.
Sure. I've fired a rifle before, never fired a handgun.
Yeah, I mean, they don't, you know, and, you know, maybe, you know, like, so my dad has a couple of small bore ones, you know, 22 doesn't kick at all, right?
That's probably what I fired is 22.
Fun to shoot for accuracy. He actually has a 17 caliber, so it's smaller than a 22.
Wow.
But it has, like, a high velocity cartridge on it, so, like, it shoots, like, super fast. And so that's fun to shoot, just, like, because you can shoot it, like, at 100 yards, 200 yards with the scope and shoot pretty accurately. And then, you know, it'd be fun to have you shoot something with a nice little kick on it, too.
Yeah, it would be.
Shotgun or a 30-06 or something
hell
like that.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I've said before, I'll say it again, I find guns to be fascinating pieces of engineering and really, you know, exquisite pieces of engineering.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like them when they're used against other
right.
people, particularly. So...
And hopefully you can get, like, we've had this, you know, in the arguments, right? You thought guns were not so useful, and I was arguing about the whole, you know, recreational part of it, right? And you had our prime visualizing the recreational. Hopefully we take you to the range, and you're like, oh, yeah, this I can see this as a hobby. So I'm not trying to convince you, but maybe mm-hmm. you'll get this. Maybe it'll be a little bit different than you imagine. I really don't care if you change your mind or not.
Yeah, what do you care? You just want to shoot. How about those Stillers?
The Stillers. This is funny. With my kids this year and all the projects I'm working on, I haven't watched a game yet. I was shocked to find out that this is the 10th week of the season.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I'm like, I would have guessed like 5th or 6th week. I would have never guessed we're 10 weeks in.
They already had their bye, and the Steelers are, I think, 2-7. Not a good year.
No, not a good year.
Not a good year.
I haven't watched any football yet this year. I normally am good for watching some football, but kids are at the age where...
they're not going to sit down.
They don't want to watch football. My time is better spent not watching football.
Yeah.
And, I was just...
So you're not missing anything. So that's the good thing. You're not missing anything.
You know what? I did try to sit down one weekend and watch some football. I can't remember if it was the Steelers or some other game. But I don't know what it was. I just couldn't get interested in it. And
they'll probably get lost in the, you know, in the pre-show shuffle, but we had a conversation about football and,
that one, I don't know if that made it or not,
but, I'm not a huge fan of football in general anyway, because of that. So much rather you watch hockey, although hockey lasts forever. but fortunately, because of your kids, you're not into the situation where you were a couple of years ago, whereas like when the Pens got into the playoffs, you were unavailable for that period of time. And playoffs knocked you less a long time.
It was a good year to watch that, though.
Yeah.
I guess it was 2 years. That was, you know, those 2 years, year before the Penguins won the cup. And then in 2009, when they won it, 2008, 2009. Is that it? Yeah, I guess so, yeah. For the 2 years, that was from March till June. I was hard for Greg to get a hold of.
Yeah. And I will remind you, 2009, the Yankees won the World Series. And guess what? I was there on World Series night doing a show.
Well, you're just not as hardcore, I guess.
No, I'm not. I really am not. I mean, that's how it comes down to. I'm just not. So what are you going to do about that? Let's see. Is there anything interesting going on otherwise?
Twitter had their IPO.
Is there anything interesting going on?
So the talk is that, you know, they only priced their thing at like $28. I think they opened at $42 or something like that. And I heard on Marketplace, I don't remember how the valuations were all worked out, but they could have priced, in hindsight, they could have priced so much higher that it would have equaled to every employee getting $500,000.
Twitter, again, the problem is, you know, how are you going to evaluate something that never made any money?
Yeah. But the way it sold, you know, in hindsight, they could have priced it appropriately and given every one of their employees $500,000.
Well, I don't know if hindsight works in that situation, because if they did price it high, then they there might not have been as many people buying onto it.
Well, it was kind of what it drove to, the demand it drove to, right? But maybe it would have been chilled, right? And it wouldn't have done that. Who knows, right? But it's like, imagine if you're the Twitter employee, like, I'm happy, but I could have been $500,000 happier.
Another thing with that, another big problem with that is that that's $500,000, but those are mostly in options, not in immediate money. So it's like, you know, I remember working at Free Markets when Free Markets went public. I wasn't there, but the people who were there when Free Markets went public, they were paper millionaires for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Not for a long time, but for a while. So like, oh, we're millionaires, but we can't actually exercise these options. So,
right.
You know, as it turned out, no, you're not.
As soon as they could exercise it, it wasn't worth anything. Huh?
Or it was not nearly as much. I mean, you know, you had money there because you got options for working there. So it was essentially free money, but it wasn't the same kind of money that they thought they were.
Hopefully I get to enjoy that sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Not the paper millionaire part, losing it, but... What else is going on? healthcare.gov. You look, you try to sign up again? No?
Wait until December. I mean, the thing doesn't start until January, and so I'm giving it some time.
Okay.
But I did look at how much, you know, there's a calculator that shows, you know, possible options, and they're nice. They're nice. So, okay. Yeah, it looks like it'll be a good deal for me, at least right now. And frankly, I'm a single payer fan, so I would rather it just go. Just, you know, the government pays for it. You pay your taxes, you get your health care, that's it. Period. No nonsense. But and then you have to deal with all these insurance companies that are out there. Ugh.
I mean, I haven't looked at it too much lately. I have employer health coverage. Yeah. Pretty good employer health coverage. And, you know, if that comes around next year and said, you know, I feel like, you know, and like, oh, we're changing everything because of Obamacare, then I'll be a little pissed. But
that's not, yeah, that's, I mean, not going to happen. I mean, almost everybody who has an employer health care plan, nothing's going to change. The people who are going to change are people who have really shitty plans.
Yeah, I can't imagine that ours would have any part that's not covered.
Yeah.
By the Affordable Care Act. I mean, my vasectomy was free. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. It's people who have really shitty plans or just catastrophic plans and that have huge deductibles. And while that's, you know, those sort of things are available, I mean, you know, you're now forced to cover more. So the people who are losing their plans are people who had plans that were like ridiculous shit that would have cost them millions of dollars anyway.
But Obama promised I could keep it.
He did. He did, and that's annoying, because that wasn't true. Mm-hmm. He said, you'll be able to keep your health care plan if you like it, period. And that wasn't true. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you could keep your health care plan if you like it, as long as it satisfied certain rules. He said, you'd be able to keep your health care plan if you like it, period. And that's his fault for just lying about it, for straight up lying about it, when he knew that was not the case.
I mean, did he know?
Yes. Okay. Everyone knew.
Why didn't anyone say about it? Say anything about it then?
Because the news media is not what it once was thought to be. I wouldn't say not what it once was, but not what it once was thought
to be. No one did the research, huh?
People did the research, but it didn't gain traction. Mm. People certainly pointed out, but it did not gain traction.
The guy from The Guardian, the Snowden guy.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, so Glenn Greenwald, I forget exactly where I was going, but I think where I wanted to go was his new job, right?
Starting a new
media company. He left The Guardian, and he's working with one of the founders from eBay to start a journalistic investigative. Basically, we don't have to pay the bills. We can do real journalism. I don't know if that's going to happen. That's what kind of the feel is, and hopefully that'd be great if, you know, this turns into the next
WikiLeaks.
The next WikiLeaks. Yeah, something like that. Something that is unabashedly journalistically rigorous and not worried about profit, not worried about sensationalism, and doing the real journalism.
Don't you love pipe dreams like that?
Big enough money is backing it. It can happen.
The money has to come from somewhere. Jeff is moving his arms like,
I haven't looked into the business plan. I don't know, but if the guy is...
Money corrupts, and absolute money corrupts absolutely.
You got some altruistic people out there.
Bullshit.
Okay, I can't argue this now. I'm not ready to argue this, but okay, whatever.
This show will probably go up next week, so it'll probably go up the 16th. The 17th is the Leonid meteor shower. So if you are listening to this right now, the day it comes out, the Leonid meteor shower comes and it will be peaking. It's not going to be the best meteor shower because the moon becomes full the morning of the Leonids peak. So its light will drown out a lot of the shooting stars. So your best bet is kind of right before dawn. Otherwise, because the moon rises at sunset and sets near dawn, so your best bet is right around near dawn, which means you're going to have to stay up really late.
So here's Glenn Greenwald, his partner, Miranda. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Glenn scored a hunk. I don't know. Tell me who got the better side of that deal. I think he's kind of cute.
Okay. No? I'm...
Come on.
What?
Glenn's kind of like nerdy journalist guy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, sometimes you look at who Dennis Kucinich is married to.
Dennis Kucinich.
Mm-hmm. Look at Dennis Kucinich and wife. This will be a shock to anybody who doesn't know this.
Okay, there's Dennis Kucinich. Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, love's blind, I guess, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He's married to this beautiful, tall French girl. And
she's like 6 inches taller than him.
He's like a little hobbit, and she's like this beautiful, you know, elf or something.
There was a sitcom about that, I think.
Aren't all sitcoms like, you know, are all the
dumpy fat guys with hot wives? Yeah. Was that like According to Jim or whatever?
According to Jim, King of Queens,
yeah,
all those shitty early aughts sitcoms were like that.
It conditioned a whole generation of women to settle for dumpier guys.
Well, it's, you know.
See, I don't know. You should have cashed in when you had your chance.
You know, see, the problem is that, from my perspective, and it, you know, it doesn't extend to the gay community, but males tend to value physical stuff more than females do. So it's not always the case that you'll see two beautiful people together, but
did you see that story about the guy who sued his wife for producing ugly children?
No, I did not see that.
Asian couple. She apparently had like $100,000 of plastic surgery before they met. So she was hot, smoking hot, and they had three ugly children. So he sued her under false pretenses.
I hope he didn't win.
He won. I'm not sure what country it was. I didn't read the article that closely, but
it wasn't the United States.
No,
it couldn't have been.
It could have been the UK, but it also might have been an Asian country. I don't know.
That's awful.
She had the surgery done in South Korea. I caught that much. I'm not sure what country they resided in.
Well, so the guy shouldn't complain. I mean, he knows it's possible to turn his kids better looking.
Google for it, because the kids are kind of ugly compared to the husband and wife. Husband sues wife over ugly kids. Wife's pretty smoking after a lot of surgery, though, that's for sure.
Northern China.
Oh, it's China?
Yeah. So there's the before and after.
Holy cow. I never saw the before. Yikes. There's a family picture of like two models and then three ugly kids.
I honestly don't think, I mean, I've seen a lot of really hot girls. Well, not a lot, but I've seen a couple really hot girls, you know, without the, you know, after... Mm-hmm. Without their makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Right.
You know, makeup makes people a lot more attractive. And then when it's off, it's not the same thing.
Right.
It's not the same thing. So I find it very silly. this whole skin deep thing about attractiveness anyway is rather silly. You know, you're attracted not, you should be, ultimately, you should be attracted to the person more than you are to just the physical
but
features.
That's not how evolution works.
Yes, it is how evolution works.
What's the benefit of that? What's the
there
advantage?
There are lots of advantages and various different advantages. I mean, we're dealing with social selection at this point rather than natural selection. So there are a whole bunch of different selection things. But I will point this out. What does Snopes say?
No, not real?
Probably false.
Huh. Just like the Full House reboot. You see that one?
Yeah. Oh, here's the picture.
Yeah. That one. smoking, ugly, ugly, ugly. There was a rumor this past week that Full House was going to get a reboot with Stephanie and
that was a big false story. That was like an April Fool's story.
That got republished and then really got traction on Facebook and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the best part of the story is: do you see what Stephanie looks like today?
No.
You need to look her up. Oh my god, she's like 31. And
which one is Stephanie?
She was the younger child or the middle child the on middle Full child. House. I forget her name. Let's see. Full House Stephanie. We don't want the old pictures. Jodie Sweetin. You're taking out those seasonings.
I'm going to see what I could use, if any of these. I can't use that one. Can't use that one. Nope. All these have sugar in them.
Tell me you wouldn't watch a show with her in it.
I would watch a show with her breasts in it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what Stephanie looks like. Deej!
Those were... I want a 3D picture.
That photo has...
Look at that.
You can see her areola in one of them on the right side there.
That's just... Those are popping out. I was like, whoa!
Yes.
Hello.
That's Stephanie from the Full House.
I don't care.
And DJ doesn't look too bad either, but not she's no Stephanie.
That is... She's a hot piece. She struggled with meth, cocaine, and ecstasy addiction as well as alcoholism. So she's damaged. That means she's easy.
Get her, Mary-Kate, and Ashley Olsen all in bed at one time.
I don't want that. Those girls are ugly.
You think?
Yeah.
I haven't seen a picture of them lately. I remember.
And I don't necessarily just mean ugly in terms of visual. I mean, they're ugly in terms of who they are and what they've been doing. Like, the whole thing around them is ugly. Mm-hmm. So
no Full House reboot, unfortunately.
No. Well, unfortunately is a...
Jodie Sweetin was going to be in it as herself, or as Stephanie. At 31 years old, damaged with meth. That was one of those things. It was like...
Well, that's a photo of a person with a lot of makeup on.
Uh-huh, okay. So you find another one?
And you don't know what time and when that was taken. Was it before she was in rehab? Was it after she was in rehab?
Did you find more a less flattering one? Or
I don't know.
Okay. Well, just why ruin the awesomeness?
Because I'm a fan of reality, my friend. I am a stalwart of reality. And I think that reality is what we should strive for, not strive for fantasy. And fantasy can be compelling and interesting, but it is also, for the most part, illusory. So we should relegate our illusory point to storytelling.
There's the ugly picture.
A little side boob there.
Yes, they're all pretty good.
We should relegate our illusory points to, you know, to side stories and storytelling, and accept the world for what it is, which is way different than how we see it. You and me, this computer, these people, the society are all illusions. We are space and time is an illusion built up from an emergent property of very simple physical laws that are built upon it, etc., etc., blah, blah, blah. We're just energy fluctuating around. So, and so when it all comes down to it, what gives you pleasure? Friction. Friction is friction.
All right, so so she got knocked up after she had her baby. There's the ugly picture. I can't find anything worse than that. That's not so good. Everything else, like when she was preggers and stuff, hot.
Uh-huh.
This one's not so hot.
Well, that one's real. I mean, you know, it has real lighting as opposed to...
Yeah.
Actually, I said it's harsher lighting than real, so it's stronger, but no.
I mean, like, all these other photos, like... Other than the ones where she's still, like, 12 years old, are awesome.
I mean, I'm telling you, that people and makeup...
Everyone has makeup a bad day.
Makes people look a lot better than they are by, you know... And but that's the whole thing, is that, you know, what is it that you're attracted to? Is it just an image? And if you're just attracted to an image, then that's not the person, and that's not the reality of the situation. You're attracted to something very, very fake, much more fake than the world as we perceive it is.
Okay.
And am I holding this glass right now?
Here's some more side boob for you.
It's easy to distract me with side boob.
Jodie Sweetin is generally pretty hot.
Yeah, she's very pretty. But am I holding this glass right now?
Sure. Yes.
I mean, more or less, yes. But in another way of looking at it, what am I? What is this glass? What is going on?
Are you smoking weed without me?
No. First of all, you don't smoke weed.
No.
Second of all, no, I'm not smoking weed. But I am getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the science of how we understand the world continually. And it is distressing at a certain point how the way that we can model the world and the way that the models explain the world differ from the world that we see and the world that we experience, and how it shows that the world that we experience is built up from a whole bunch of very interesting and intricate interactions, but to claim that it is real is a stretch too far.
Okay, Mr. Killjoy.
I'm not a killjoy.
Kind of sort of are.
I'm not trying to be a killjoy. I'm trying to express that... The very idea of space and time falls apart when you look at things too closely.
Right, but what it sounds like is, oh, everything you think that you see is all that's awesome is not the truth, and you need to dig deeper. Yeah, that sounds like Killjoy.
If that's me being a killjoy, I'm just expressing...
It goes back to that, you know, ignorance is bliss, you know?
I'm expressing what I'm going through now from what I've learned. and what I continue to learn. And it's world shattering. It really is. It shatters illusions, and you're left with something that you can't completely reconcile, but because we're not built for it. But the implications are clear. And the implications are that what we call reality isn't. There's a much more fundamental reality that we are unaware of, and that we build up this sort of illusion in our mind, this holograph in our mind, because of a lot of different things. But the fundamentals of what's going on are are freaky. They're very, very freaky. And they are not explainable in any way without intensive study. And even then, you're not going to totally understand it, but you get a better idea of what's going on. I mean, there's this whole, I don't know if you read the story about the amplituhedron.
The what?
There's this new method of...
Say it again. What was it?
Amplituhedron.
Amplituhedron. So it has a bunch of sides that are... Let's see. Amplified. I'm guessing the more energy that's in it, the more sides it has.
No, it's totally different than that. Yeah, okay. What it is essentially it's a... new type of geometric object that is being explored as a possible way of simplifying dynamics calculations using this sort of geometric system. So you can simplify things like Feynman diagrams, where in some situations, in order to figure out something, you'd have to draw 200 different Feynman diagrams to figure out the complete probability amplitude of a certain interaction. Whereas if you use the amplituhedron, if you use the stuff behind that, and you assume a couple extra things like maximally supersymmetric models, then it would explain, it would give you the answers in a much simpler way. I don't know whether it's true or not. There's a lot of interesting stuff there. It kind of reminded me of Gordon... Lisi's, not Gordon Shumway, not Alf. Gordon Lisi's. He made this thing called the exceptionally simple theory of everything, which was based on the E8 Lie group. But you know, it falls apart under closer scrutiny. This may fall apart under closer scrutiny. This may not. There's a lot of. I mean. I'll give you a brief example. You know about gluons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know about color charge.
Maybe.
Gluons, you know, are in the model you were probably taught, gluons sort of, you know, are interchanged between quarks, and they switch colors.
Mm-hmm.
But what is a gluon? What is the color of a gluon, really? Well, it's just a slightly different degree of freedom for a gluon. If you were to look at a gluon from a lower dimensional aspect and see it from one phase, see it from another phase, it would look as it has that different quote-unquote color, but really it's just an additional degree of freedom the gluon has, and expressing that degree of freedom gives it that different charge. When you get into the dynamics of quantum chromodynamics, it's...
You lost me.
I know I lost you.
Like 10 minutes ago.
I know I lost you because I got lost in it. And I can't explain this stuff in a reasonable way because it took me years to get to the point where I could have an extraordinarily basic understanding of it, which is
so,
what I have.
So let's go back to the whole selection and beauty versus someone you have, you know, like why you sounded a few, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes ago about how you'd be better off with someone you have lots in common with or something like that, right? But really, the beauty factor is such a big deal in, you know, dating, selecting a maid.
Yeah.
Why is that such a strong evolutionary pressure? And, or why is it?
It's a pressure, whether it's an evolutionary, right. Well, whether it's like a natural pressure, I don't know. I mean, it's a pressure. Then, I think it's a societal and selective pressure, but it's forcing us for other things. But we talked about this last week. We talked about monogamy, and I'm not so into
monogamy
the
and beauty is not the same thing.
No, but the idea of finding your soulmate based solely on beauty factors throws
Why are beautiful people so attractive? I mean,
I don't have an answer to that question.
There's got to be something evolutionary that drove to that point, though.
I mean,
there's got to be something beneficial to desiring that someone be beautiful.
There doesn't actually have to be something beneficial. There just has to be something that... I mean, right? Because it's not necessarily... It doesn't necessarily mean beneficial to go off on a tangent that doesn't help survival. Right? You can only judge after the fact whether survival is helped by this thing.
I mean,
so if going
the fact that it's so strong, you have to think it has to have been selected. I mean, either that or you're saying it's never been deselected, right? It's never been proved to be disadvantageous, right? But
well, I think that we're in a very interesting age where we are not where we see people who are thousands of miles away from us, and we use them to judge beauty as opposed to just the people who are near us.
It's more, I don't know, I think it's more innate than that. I think it's more natural. It's not something you've learned from watching TV and reading magazines.
I disagree. Look at people's perceptions of beauty from hundreds of years ago, which we can see in novels and in pictures and stuff like that, and their perceptions of beauty are far different from what we see today. There's but still a basic perception, which is, you know, symmetry more, and stuff like that.
Just being exposed to more options doesn't...
No, we're being exposed to an entirely different culture that is much larger scale, and that forces people to be into certain situations in order to comply with that. I don't think that 1,000 years ago the same standards of beauty applied. And I think that 50 years ago the same standards of beauty didn't apply.
But that's saying you take Stephanie from Full House next to Venus de Willendorf, you know, and put them side by side
and
you know, choosing which one was hotter. I guess you can't put yourself in that space.
But. And you would choose Stephanie as hotter, and someone from Venus's time would choose Venus as hotter. You're making a radical assumption, which is that we've reached peak hot. And I disagree. It's a cultural thing.
Maybe. I mean, I can see. I mean, I can accept that. What's changed? I mean,
what's changed? Seriously?
I mean,
you can answer that question for yourself.
Hot should be fertile, right? I mean, because it's still evolutionary, right? It still is passing your genes. So
you're assuming that it's all. It's all strictly natural selection at this point, which is not the case anymore.
Then what is it then? What could it be?
is a whole lot of different selective pressures, a large amount of selective pressures on us. Natural selection in terms of, you know, producing offspring is no longer a large selective pressure anymore. I mean, it's a slight selective pressure, but there's a lot more selective pressure right now on accumulating wealth and accumulating power. And so you see a lot more selective pressure going on, at least in you know, the quote unquote first world, in terms of, you know, accumulation of things and the ability to express that power and to multiply that power outwards.
I don't know. It just feels more primal when you see someone who's beautiful. I just can't see the, that new
look at
wealth selection.
Watch a movie from the 80s. Watch a movie from the 80s and look at the difference between what was considered to be hot then, what was considered to be hot now. The hair is different. The body type is slightly different. There's all types of things. And I'm just talking about now the way men look at women. Mm-hmm. But just as a microcosm, you can see a completely different perspective and a completely different, you know, reaction towards beauty than what we have now. So beauty changes with time and changes with culture. To assume that it doesn't is to not see the forest for the trees, to not see the completeness of what's around you, which is that this is a thing in constant change, in constant flux.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Think of 1950s pinup versus today. The 1950s would almost never be as beautiful as
things that look like insects today. I mean, super thin and just like just thorax, no hips, that kind of thing.
I was thinking more of the pointy boobs, pointy bra boobs.
Right. You think of Madonna's cone boobs in the 80s, right?
I think, you know, real beauty in the 80s is still something we can recognize today. But for someone my age, looking at what I imagine, you know, I mean, I'm sure Marilyn Monroe is still beautiful, but imagine, you know, just the, what you think of like 1952 Playboy.
Think of the 20s. You
know? Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm sure they were crazy minxes in the 20s.
Why not? Have you read about the 20s?
Yeah.
There were crazy minxes in the 20s.
Mm-hmm. I got to pee, so let's wrap this
up. All right. So that's it. We'll talk to you later.